The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 591. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up? What up, what up?
All right, we have returned. If you guys watching us live are like, hey, Tony, you're flipped. Yes, because I'm back on the Mac and there's no way to me to flip the image. Also, let me do a double check. Are we actually on episode 591? No, we are on episode 592, people. My bad. I didn't update the show notes here. I did, but not the number. I was like, hold on. Were we on?
That doesn't sound right.
Hold on, baby. We did 591 last week.
Deja vu going on around here.
You know? Man, that would have fucked up everything. All right, so yes, we have returned. No Chris action. He's doing whatever he needs to do. Rich may be on late. I think he said he will be on late. He's at a dinner or something, probably some family thing.
Family.
And we call Bread of the Wild Bread of the Wild for a reason. He may show up. He may not show up. We shall see.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he shows up. Brett shows up when he feels, you know, if he, you know, he's gone through a lot of shit. So
yes, give the man some space, you know.
Yeah, space.
Yeah, what's going on, Two Medic? What's going on, brother? We got Barry Byrne in the building. By the way, guys, since I am back on the Mac, let me know if anything's off with the video, the sound, whatever, you know. But I think we should be good. Other than the flip thing, which sucks because I wanted to show some stuff off, but I can't now because it's going to look reversed. You know?
Well, you're going to don't matter, man. People get the idea.
Yeah. I was actually going to show off, you know, because I was like, I haven't bought a physical game since I was 14. It's actually not true. I actually bought physical games last year, Pete.
Oh.
Is
some of the limited run things have finally come in?
No, not that. The Marvel vs. Capcom 2, obviously, and the Capcom versus SNK collection. Because I was like, they took these away from us before. But it sucks because...
Wait, on the Dreamcast?
No.
He still has those on Dreamcast.
Yeah, I still have those. No, I'm talking about the PS4 versions that I played on PS5. But I was like, yo, you motherfuckers took these away from us before. Not letting you do it again. But obviously, we're not going to have that option come 2 years from now. But we will talk about that. So yeah, this show is basically split into two because both Xbox and PlayStation took L's this week, you know? So fucking insane. So yeah, let's start off with Xbox. So we knew this day was coming. The reset, as Asha Sharma herself called it. And while this was not, in my opinion, the worst gaming event in history, as some claimed, fucking course, the goddamn Verge with their bullshit. Because I was sourcing their article here, but they're like, oh, give us $2. Man, I'm not giving you shit, you know? Anyway, so this was supposed to be the biggest layoffs in gaming history. Day of bloodbath. While things are not good, it could have been a lot worse, you know?
Which is crazy to say.
Yeah. So basically, the studios that we feared were on the chopping block, and I'm just going off memory on it because I don't have my notes, Compulsion Games, Arcane, Ninja Theory, and Double Fine, they will not be closed down as we feared. They're going to be auctioned off. Two of them are going to be auctioned off, and then two of them are going to go just be independent.
Yeah. Double Fine and Compulsion are going back to being independent game studios with their game catalog intact. So yes. Compulsion will have a Contrast and We Happy Few and the new game that they're currently working on. Double Fine will have all of their properties, you know, Brutal Legend and, you know, Psychonauts and all that sort of stuff. So they literally just said, all right, you can go now.
Yeah. And Xbox, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say take this with a grain of salt because they did officially say this, but it's just be honest. You never know. The games that they announced that are in development, like Hellblade, Senua, I think they just call it now, will still be funded. It still will be developed. That's what they said.
Yes. The idea is that they already have the budget set aside for them. They're only just cutting the studio loop.
Yeah. So.
So as of now, I think Ninja Theory doesn't have a buyer yet, but no. I know the other company does. Was it Dead? What was the name of their game?
Which one? State of Decay.
State of Decay. So yeah, they actually they've been purchased by some studio. We don't know who it was. They haven't announced, but they said, at least from one of the announcements, they were saying when they are on sale, but they weren't able to look for options until a certain amount of time away from when they did this. So Ninja Theory is still, I guess, looking for a buyer. They're still looking for a buyer for those studios. They said it had something to do with the European Union or something like that, or where they are is the specific reason why they didn't just, you know, as soon as the announcement happened, literally Double Fine and Compulsion were like, nope, we're independent again. We look forward to the future.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I want to read a couple of things here from Miss Asha Sharma herself, who took to the Xbox Wire to make a big post here to the team. And this was actually the email she sent around to the employees. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just a couple of parts. We are beginning the most significant restructure in Xbox history. After careful consideration, I've made the difficult decision to reduce our team by approximately 3,200 throughout fiscal year 2027. So right now we got 1,600. So there will be 1,600 more jobs cut. So basically, if you are an employee of Xbox and you made the cut, you know, you may not be so lucky next time.
You may not make it.
Yeah. So it says this will include approximately 1,600 role eliminations today. And in addition, 4 studios will leave Xbox to new management. I recognize that a year-long restructuring creates additional challenges. Unfortunately, it is not possible to make all the necessary changes in a single day, and I wanted to be direct about the scale. I want to read this next part. This is interesting. And again, I'll say this about Asha Sharma. She's very direct when she wants to be, you know? Our business today is not healthy. We are operating at margins that are 3 to 10 times lower than comparable platforms and publishing businesses. We entered Generation 9 with a smaller install base and a higher cost structure. To grow, we bet on Game Pass, multi-platform, and a broader portfolio of content. While those businesses have created meaningful value, they did not grow at the pace we expected. As that happened, our core businesses weakened, and we added more teams, more investment, and more time, hoping for a better outcome. And now the industry is facing the most severe hardware crisis in its history. We must reset Xbox. So she said it right there. Xbox Game Pass did not pan out how they wanted. They spent too much money on these studios. That didn't pan out either. So now they got to make drastic cuts, you know?
I mean, to be honest, what we said this before, but they overstressed themselves.
Yeah.
Them and PlayStation during the pandemic. They thought the good times are rolling. Time to expand. They should have did it. They should have just said business as usual, and whatever we're getting on top of it will be profit. You know?
Yeah. I want to read this next part because it ties in exactly what you said. Since 2018, we have aggressively expanded our studio portfolio while the number of games created each month across the industry now outpaces the last 10 years combined. We now find ourselves competing not only against the larger publishers, but also with small-scale independent studios. This part's very important. It is neither possible nor desirable to own every great independent studio. We have also learned that we are not the best home for every type of studio. In a typical year, we lost 64 cents for every dollar we invested. And as we reset Xbox, we will help independent creators succeed by providing open development tools and audiences to realize their vision. Again, spelling it out, They're losing fucking money. They bought all these studios and it doesn't make any sense. At the time, again, the goal was let's just get all these games on Game Pass. But if people are not subscribing to Game Pass, you know,
the idea was to fill up Game Pass, in other words, make it a big old buffet of stuff, right? You have your big old games, you have your little tiny games, you have all games in between. But I think that the lack of focus in that situation is what put them in this situation. They're not choosing, it's great. It's got a lot of, had a lot of studios making stuff for you. But where is the iconic stuff? Where is the something that says, this is going to be something that is going to make you subscribe to it? And then obviously, when they decided to start putting Halo and all of their other games onto Game Pass, they literally cut into their own sales, which we talked about this before, and people started calling us out for this sort of shit. You need to buy something in order for there to be a profit. Engagement numbers doesn't mean anything unless you have a market saturation.
That's right.
If everybody was on fucking Game Pass, then they would be doing good because they would have they have all this money constantly coming in. So that means that they could spend money like that. But they were all doing all this sort of stuff if it did happen, and it was all speculation. Well, if we put a bunch of games, we're making pretty decent money during this pandemic, then what happened? 2022, right? Then they started that first batch of Shed, right?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And again, to that point, I want to read this other part. We know that great technology gets better when it gets simpler, not bigger. This part's crazy. Today, in some parts of the company, work passes through as many as 14 layers of management. Our platform teams are 40% larger than they were at the start of this generation, even as our player base and playtime have declined. That complexity has slowed decisions, blurred accountability, and made it harder to deliver for players. As we reset Xbox, we'll simplify. Bro, 14 layers of management.
That's
crazy.
I hear Brett right now. Middle management.
Yeah.
Big fucking deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. We will reduce management layers to no more than 5, and where possible, 3. I still think that's too much, but that's better than 14. Jesus Christ. You know, that is insane. And again, that all this happened because they thought the good times were going to roll because of the pandemic. All that happened. And again, because I know some of you, Kuel specifically in the chat, it's not just Xbox. Everybody except for the Japanese. They were like, hey, let's fucking spend all this money. I got money in my pocket. I got to burn it. You know?
Yeah,
well, everybody was doing that shit.
But I mean, that's the year, to be honest. That's the usual technology. That's the technology where they expand and then they start to shed, to look mindful. And then they're, all that sort of stuff happened.
Yeah. Shout out to Manny's cat. You know, he's not happy about this Xbox news either. It's crazy.
He's not a big.
You heard him. He's like 14 layers.
He's like 14 layers.
Wild.
It's the thing is like you having all this management in the way. Obviously, there's important things in there, right? They had their accessibility stuff, and they had some things that were in there that were essentially sort of to review those. Some of the layoffs were interesting. One of the people that was a laid off was the guy that was head of their like backward compatibility sector.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, oh, that's not a good one to get rid of. You want to keep that guy around. Let's be your legacy, right?
Yeah. I think it may have been Dave McCarthy. He says, retiring after 17 years with Xbox. Fuck. Carlos, Brian, what do you guys think about this? There's more, but I just want to at least get through this part.
I was thinking, at what point do we get to the middle manager part? Because that always comes. Because it's a buzzword that people get excited about. They feel like that's the smoking gun to all the issues that these companies have.
Brett. Let's just be honest.
Oh no, Pete. Yeah. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of gullible people online that they see middle managers being cut off and they think, oh, everything's resolved now. And it's like, no, these issues run deep. With Xbox, How many waves of layoffs have we gotten since the turn of the decade?
I don't know, but I mean, I could probably look this up. Pretty sure we even did this, but I think it happens like almost every quarter now, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it's if it doesn't happen every quarter, it happens every other quarter, but it keeps happening so frequently, you know? It's insane. Yeah.
So it all has to do with the business management of it. Phil, shout out to Phil. I like Phil. I still like Phil. Yeah. Phil's one of the dudes.
Uncle Phil.
But Uncle Phil, man, his idea was Xbox is not doing great. They're third place. They're barely selling consoles. Their first party is dwindling. Halo is losing his luster. So what are we going to do? We're going to pivot to Game Pass. We're going to do a online streaming service for games, sort of like Netflix, where you can play games everywhere. You play on your PC, play them on, you know, your Xbox, playing on your tablet and all this stuff. And, you know, I got to give them props for at least trying, but this ended up with the pandemic where people were spending left and right because loans were so cheap. So they bought up embraced a whole bunch of companies that they disavowed later on. And dang. Xbox did the same thing. Sony did the same thing. And they bought all these studios and they said, oh, we can buy all these studios that are going to, you know, people are going to want to play their games on Game Pass. But it wasn't enough, you know. As QL mentioned, I think in the chat, he said Game Pass was bringing in $5 billion in revenue a year. But that's only revenue. That's not profit.
Yeah.
And that and those operating costs do not take into account over $100 billion they spent on these studios. You know, this is 70 alone on Activision Blizzard. So, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, those things gotta add up, and they weren't. So they had to pivot, and you know, it started with Call of Duty not being in Game Pass, which is their biggest seller. I mean, Call of Duty was suffering because of this, because they're, you know, people were playing it on Xbox essentially, you know, mm-hmm. for $20 a month or $15 a month, however much Game Pass is worth now. And yeah, it wasn't selling as much, you know, as it used to. So it's a lot of things. It's not just one thing. It started with Phil's vision. Unfortunately, it didn't pay out. So now they're pivoting to what they're doing now. And with Sharma, man, she's waving the layoff wand crazy. So we'll see. I don't know how this is going to end up for Xbox, but it's not looking good right now.
No, it's not. I want to kind of get to your point about Game Pass. This didn't say it in the email there, but basically their goal was to hit 77 million subscribers this year. They've lost 4 million since the last time we checked. So it used to be 35 million or so, 35, 34. Now it's 30 million. So the number is going the other direction, you know? So you know, it's not looking good. Shout out to Brett who's joining us.
I can't.
Yeah, go ahead.
The thing about it is I can't like it can't like you can't like with all the prices like going up on Game Pass, like why keep it around? Like obviously you're losing people because of that one of those that you know because of that reason. What's the first thing to get cut? You know.
Yeah,
stuff like that, stuff that just siphons money away from your that you need. So I can understand why they own stuff, but it's like you got to give people a reason to keep you around, and I don't think that they were giving enough reasons for to keep people to stay around, other than you know some of the Call of Duty heads. So just like, hey, look, it's on there for you know.
Yeah, so. I don't know if it was their biggest revenue generator, Quell, but again, Asha said it herself. They only made like. What's their fucking word for profit? They have callers. Remember, she had that funky word for it.
Yeah, accountability margin.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like they. She already said they're behind the competition. So obviously, yeah. Go ahead.
Rich, are you talking about the 64 cents for every dollar return on investment?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, I think it's return on investment is the term you're looking for.
No. Xbox has a specific term for profit, and Carlos just said it: accountability margin.
Yeah.
That's their term that's their term for profit.
And to go to QL's point, yeah, I do not doubt Game Pass is the biggest revenue generator because they don't sell consoles, they don't sell games.
That's true.
You know, and all the Xbox Live memberships, you know, got transformed to a Game Pass subscription. That's the money revenue. So, if they take down Game Pass, you're essentially cutting off the revenue you have. I don't know how they can. There's no Noah's Ark to transfer all those subscriptions into something else. So they're stuck in they're what is it? What's the phrase? A rock stuck in a hard place.
They're caught between a rock and a hard place. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
you're right. Fuck. That's crazy, bro. That
transition from Game Pass would be impossible for them. It would essentially be just saying we're done as Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, there's already been speculation on that, but we're not going to get into that. Brian, I wanted to get your thoughts on what we discussed so far.
It's interesting that they've cut down this way. Again, it's better than outright laying people off, that some of these studios just went independent. So let's see what happens now that they're independent. Let's see if they get bought up by another studio and end up making a great game about, I don't know, let's say running very far. Who knows? But yeah, again, I'm still happy that they weren't full layoffs. So again, as Tony said, it's not as bad as what could be. But it's still, again, it's just hearing about the internal workings of Xbox. It's, I don't know, it just seems so weird that people thought, oh yeah, this is a good idea. Have like so many layers of management. It's like, who thought that was a good idea? Like, is Xbox just full of people that don't know how to do their job properly? But then you see their games and it's like, maybe it is. And maybe that's the problem.
We said a long time ago, a lot of the state of some of their games reek from a too many cooks in the kitchen situation. So she literally just said it outright.
Yeah. But by the way, go ahead, Brian. And then I want to jump over to Brett.
My only hope is that this actually does result in a more focused Xbox. And I do like how they did say that they are facing competition from the smaller studios. So at least they have acknowledged that, hey, like it's not only the big teams, but also the small teams. So they should think about both rather than just thinking, okay, everything needs to be big AAA games. It's like, no, you should make both big games and small games. Now, if only they had a studio that was very good at making small games, that also would be quite beneficial.
That was one of their earlier chopping block studios, wasn't it?
Yeah. By the way, Reggie, it's interesting you said you're watching us in 4K when we're broadcasting 720p. So there's some heavy upscaling going on right there, you know?
Yeah, 4K. So some of our computers would probably set it on fire.
Yeah. Brett, when I was going over the story before you got here, we all thought of you when I got to the part talking about 14 layers of management, bro. Fucking insane.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like, I'm the one who's gone off about it before, and even I was like, 14 fucking layers. Jesus fucking Christ. Like, going down to 5 is one thing. Even I didn't know the depths of the management hell that these guys were going through. 14 fucking bosses. 14 fucking yeses for everything you need to fucking happen. That shit is insane. Like, and like, if you think about it, like, each layer of management is going to cost more than just the person.
Having an actual developer.
Yeah. Every one of those costs more than a fucking developer.
Oh my God. That's so true. You know?
Yeah. So if you're like, where did all this bloat come from? I don't know. The 14 jobs all making more than the developer. Cause I'm going to assume that if the developer is making 1X, that every single layer of management is making more than them. So that means the top layer of management is making at least 14x that the developer is, right?
Maybe, but they're definitely making more than the guys on the bottom of that chain, you know? That's just a lot of fucking wasted money, as Asha pointed out. Was it like a Titanic? Yeah, right? You know? I did want to go to this part. This is still related. Even though, you know, obviously these four studios will live, thankfully, one studio that is also going to stick around got brutalized. Id Software, now it's confirmed, 158 employees were laid off. That is confirmed by the state of Texas. They gutted Id Software to the point where they're almost a support studio now. Like, and this came literally the same week that a new Doom DLC dropped. Imagine that you're releasing a brand new DLC and you're fucking gone. You know, you get fired. Yo, it got to the point where John Carmack today went to Twitter and he basically said, I was wrong to be optimistic about Xbox buying us. He flat out said, he goes, that tweet I put out aged horribly. You know, and he's like, it's going to be really awkward when we have our 35th anniversary of Doom, whatever it is, stream, which is like in a week or two. And they got to talk about
Quake, at QuakeCon.
Yeah, exactly. So brutal stuff right there when it comes to id, well, you know, good.
I think I called that out back then, too. I was like, why are you selling to fucking Microsoft? Like, of all places.
Yeah. Bethesda was also hit. They got a bunch of layoffs. And as a matter of fact, let me pull this up here. This is from.
Hold on. I forgot what I got to say. I don't fucking care anymore. Get your shit together, Todd.
actually, I agree. Yeah. Actually, did you guys want to say anything about id? Because, you know, there's some Bethesda stuff here we should go over as well.
I don't know why id got so massacred. That seems, I'll be honest, a lot of this restructuring that happens seems to make some sort of sense. Even down to like the Dead by Daylight or the Undead Lab studio or whatever. Like, some of these guys haven't put out a profit making game in like 8 years, and I get that, and I get them going to Bethesda and be like, quit the shit, Todd, just make a fucking Elder Scrolls, goddammit. I don't know why it got so fucked. I'm sorry, id.
Yeah, so it's, you know, obviously got hit really hard. But they weren't given the option of going independent. It's just, no, we're gutting you, you know? So who knows what's going to happen with them.
Yeah. Part of my love left for id whenever they let go of my uncle. Shout out to John Romero.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like I went over my head.
Well, nah, man, nah. Yeah. John Romero walked off on his own. He's like, nah, I'm done. I'm making Daikatana, son.
Yeah, but even he got affected, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, so yes, earlier we talked about that.
He was doing something for Microsoft, and he got cut. Well, they still have never said what it was that he got cut, but he was working on something within there. And
yes.
They chopped him off. I'm like, why chop that motherfucker off? He's the only one really developing his own games.
Yeah.
Like he's got like these little tiny studios of like four or five people doing his little Sigil games. Like, I think he's programmed Sigil all on his own. So it's like, why get rid of Carmack? He's not doing anything.
Well, Carmack left a while ago. You're talking about Romero.
Why get rid of Romero? Because it's like the budget for one of his little titles he's been doing is probably not that much to begin with. That's the previous culling that happened. A lot of that stuff didn't make any sense. It's like, okay, you have a game like, you know, Tango Gameworks, who made Hi-Fi Rush, which did arguably okay, and then you tell them, hey, we want more of these type of small titles, then you fire them. Those guys should be the ones you keep around. You should be culling the big guys.
Yeah. This ties into it. I want to read part of John Carmack's tweet here, because it also ties in with something else I wanted to discuss. He goes, I've been trying to find something meaningful to say about the id Software layoffs. My Microsoft will probably be a good steward of the brand statement isn't aging well. And this is certainly going to dampen the mood of the founder reunion at QuakeCon next month. I'm saddened, but I can't muster anger or outrage over it. I don't have access to the books, but I suspect that id Software was a marginal business from Microsoft's perspective. Here's the important part. I believe the reports that Microsoft revenues have been carrying several other studios to continue being produced long-term, games to be successful, not just be beloved, which is true. Games are competing with every other option for spending your leisure time and money on. The competition is brutal. You can't rule out the possibility that executives are idiots, but that shouldn't be your default belief. I don't think there is any obvious path that would have doubled the revenue from id Games. Could they have gotten more with a different pricing strategy? Could they have created more things for fans to buy? Could they have cost-effectively marketed in a way that reached more players that would have loved and bought the game? And he asked a bunch of questions. He goes, I don't know. Another report kind of corroborated what he said. Apparently, a big chunk of Xbox was being subsidized by the profits that Minecraft was bringing up. So Minecraft was propping up Xbox, a good chunk of it, which is insane, you know? Again, others have reported the same thing.
Money.
Yeah, they're but think about money. That. Think about that, though. Minecraft was funding Xbox Game Pass, basically. Fucking insane.
Minecraft makes a shitload of money.
It does. Yeah, it's the best-selling game of all time, currently. So it makes sense.
Yep, it is. It is definitely their whale. You know, it's the thing I kind of want to ask is, I'm genuinely curious about people's viewpoint on this because it sounds like there are people who are of both minds that Microsoft acquiring a bunch of studios and spending a bunch of money was a terrible idea and a sign of company instability, and them cutting said studios is also terrible business practice and a sign of instability. So I'm actually kind of curious for those of you who are, you know, a little bit more, if there is anybody here, a little bit more, you know, sidestruck by this stuff, like, is this them righting the ship or is this them fucking up the company? Is it both? Is it neither? Can you kind of have them right the ship without it being two rights making a wrong kind of thing or two wrongs making a right kind of thing?
Nobody likes hearing that, you know, beloved studios are getting closed down. But it was a fundamental mistake to expand during what they believe was going to the good times were going to roll. I feel like they are also bending to their investors who only expecting growth, you know, ebbs and flows of growth, and then being mindful the way the technology, you know, the technical industry.
And I'm not asking why nobody's dancing on the graves of these poor people. Like, just want to be very clear on that. Like, it sucks universally when a person loses their job. And it can be true that it is both a market correction and it sucks. That's my opinion.
Like, the thing about it is it's a lot of all these people are literally just victims of the circumstance of whatever leadership they felt was going to, whatever leadership whenever they sold or whenever they did all these sort of, you know. But again, they were looking, you know, they said that, you know, they wanted to bolster their things. And we said it even back then. It was like, you know, Microsoft didn't really have any sort of real iconic things to keep people around. Well, they went and bought two companies that have a bunch of iconic things that keep people around. And it still wasn't enough to save it, was it? So they shouldn't have did it.
Yeah, but the thing with that part is it's easy to say that in hindsight. Like, because, you know, my favorite phrase is that dealing with Xbox is like, you know, it's a Faustian deal. But it's very easy for me to say that in hindsight. And I don't subscribe.
Huh? Back then. You were saying in foresight. Back then. It's not hindsight. You've been saying it the whole time.
You were saying it. We were saying it back then. Like, in general, like, looking at the landscape of the way Microsoft's games were coming out, we were saying it even then, like, I don't know about this thing.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. But Brett, to your point, I don't think them buying these studios was a sign of instability. It was more a sign of, we're Microsoft, we have money, we're going to buy all this shit. Look at how much money we have now because of the pandemic. We're going to go crazy. So I don't think that was a sign, but definitely it is a sign of instability now because none of the big grand plans panned out. You know, if anybody kind of has those two thoughts, so like, wait, you can't say they're unstable because they're buying studios and then they're unstable because they're selling studios. That doesn't make any fucking sense. So I don't know who's holding that thought, but yeah, again, Microsoft, when they bought these games, were like, we got money, or excuse me, Xbox buys games. We got daddy Microsoft funding us. We're good. Let's go fucking nuts. Oh shit. Look how much money, extra money we have now. Go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Fell down and we are where we are, you know?
What was the biggest thing that we've talked about? This is even older than these acquisitions. They're expressing their biggest strength, their biggest exclusivity, their money.
Yeah.
Early throwdown. We talked about that.
Yeah. I will say this though, about just real quick, Brett, just to make a correction. Yes, we did question when this stuff was happening, but none of us flat out said, oh, in 3 years, the floor is going to fall out and all these studios are going to be closed. None of us predicted that, you know, just to be fair. But yes, we did say, whoa, you know.
When it comes to Microsoft, I never rested when they had their best. They knew anything about making, because it revealed itself as soon as when they let Bungie go off on their own. And when Gears of War moved away from Epic, and then you saw the titles that those two titles that were coming from those hodgepodge studios, and they just were not able to hit any of that sort of stuff. Neither one of them. Yeah. The first Halo title that they did on their own was eh, and then after that, three in a row. The Gears of War has probably fared a little bit better, but I don't think it was. I don't think it was any real. They were probably receiving diminishing returns, especially with the fucking protagonist switch. Nobody really cared about that one.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They didn't like that one.
So they went back to Marcus Fenix with E-Day.
They went to yeah.
The only franchise that is still, I feel like, still has the prestige is Forza,
yeah,
Horizon in particular. That's the one that I feel like they've done a great job with that one.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Did you guys hear about the Obsidian leak?
Oh, what's up? What happened with that?
There is a substantial leak going on that looks like it may prove to be true, has a good history, that says that Obsidian just got handed the reins to a new Fallout game.
Yes, I did hear about that. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but please ask us about it, because that could be a whole other topic. That's very fucking interesting. Go ahead.
By the way, in relation to that, and Brett was kind of getting started with this, so I'll just help kick it off even more.
Do it.
Todd Howard, man, what are you doing? He had this conversation with I don't know who the hell he was talking to. Someone posted it on the Discord. Shout out to the Discord. He was talking about how, because, you know, Elder Scrolls 6 was announced, what, 8 years ago? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, it was probably longer than that. Think about more time has passed between when that trailer was revealed and now than since when Skyrim was launched and that trailer was revealed. More time has passed than that.
Yes.
Fucking... It's crazy, bro.
He mentioned, they were talking about like that same thing. It's like, well, Skyrim, it's been 15 years since Skyrim. And, you know, it's been, I forgot how long since the a proper Fallout, you know, since Fallout 4. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we're still servicing the fans because we're, you know, we got these DLC for Fallout 76 and Elder Scrolls Online. And that shit just got me pissed, man. I'm like, I don't care how well your hair has stood up the test of time. Todd Howard, you're on my shit list. This is some bullshit.
I feel like this is Asha Sharma also saying this, but go on.
Yeah. How the hell do you not make another Elder Scrolls game in the last 10 years? We've got a GTA 6 before we got Elder Scrolls. And Elder Scrolls Skyrim came out before GTA 5. It's ridiculous, man. They're not servicing their fans. They might have been in the shitter when they got acquired by Microsoft. That's why maybe I don't give Phil and the Microsoft as much shit when it comes to Bethesda, because maybe they were already in the loop. But man, I'm glad Sharma is doing something with them, because they need to get their asses together and release the titles that people actually care about. You know, people care about a Fallout 5. People care about Elder Scrolls 6. We don't care. Elder Scrolls Online, like, yeah, people still play it, but like that's the whole service strategy that, you know, went so well for PlayStation, and it can only go just so well for you for amount of time before people just get bored and your franchises don't carry the prestige they once did.
Well, no, that's its own studio. That studio splintered off like 5+ years ago. That isn't even a fucking excuse. It's not like they're like, oh, we've been diverted by this, you know, perpetual cash printing machine. No, that's a different company in a different office in a different part of the world. It's not even Todd and his team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to get to this because we're talking about Bethesda now. There's a perfect segue to it. Toon Medic, right? We're going to talk about that now. This is the headline from IGN. Elder Scrolls 6 will suffer because of Xbox layoffs, according to Bethesda staff. They fear delays, crunch, and that generational talent is being replaced by contractors. Fuck. So here's, I'm just going to cherry pick some quotes here. Speaking on condition of anonymity to protect their careers, current and former staff have told me, the reporter, that job losses across Bethesda Game Studios locations have removed more than 50 employees, including, quote, key high-performing people in the trenches. And by the way, the previous report, because there was also in Texas, confirms that as well. 50 of them got laid off. So basically it says, this in turn, they say, has shattered morale, raised the risk of future development crunch, and increased the likelihood that the game's already far-off completion date will be delayed. This is turning into the winter winter with how long we're going to wait, bro.
I call bullshit.
Yeah.
So you don't think, wait, what do you call bullshit on?
Oh, first of all, like this for like, oh no, hypothetical person, are you telling me that the roadmap that you've been on that hasn't delivered jack shit for 8 years might have been endangered? Oh my God, whatever will we fucking do? Like, you've been shitting the bed consistently for the better part of a fucking decade. There is literally nothing you can say in the wake of the tragic catastrophe that you fucking left that is going to make me think that you know what the fuck you're doing. So anybody who speaks with authority about the Elder Scrolls franchise can get both sides of my ass because they're clearly not fucking doing it. I want another Elder Scrolls game before I fucking die. And whoever's been at the reins need to be kicked in the fucking teeth. This is the one coming. This is the one time where I'm like, I don't give a shit. I hope your morale is broken. I hope so. Because whatever bullshit you've been doing behind the scenes with your fucking thumb up your ass, this bullshit circle jerk has been doing nothing but producing failure after failure. And I can only imagine the heat that Asha brought in that room because I don't own the fucking company, but I am disgusted about the perpetual cycle of failures that this company has delivered after they have been acquired. It's like they got bought and decided that they didn't need to fucking try anymore. And so they just keep dropping abortions like fucking dumpster babies after prom. It's not something that they can keep fucking doing. And the fact that they've just been hemorrhaging money and producing nothing of any substantial talent really kind of leads me to believe, like, what the fuck is even going on here? At a certain point, you just take them out behind the shed and put them the fuck down. And I almost would have done that to the entire goddamn studio at this point. And if I were Asha, I would have walked in that studio and been like, you are making the next fucking Elder Scrolls, Todd, or you're goddamn fired. We bought the company for fucking Elder Scrolls, not to just make us look bad. We can do that on our own. We are experts at eating crayons, right? We don't need your fucking help on that one, Todd. So frankly, if they're like, oh no, 50 people got fired. Good. I can guarantee you somebody in there needed fucking fired. Probably not the people that you needed, but I guarantee you some of it was management and some of it was them going in, cutting out the middle as a threat and then saying like, there. Now you're going to do a fucking Elder Scrolls. Because you know what? They've decided to do other shit. And like for anybody who is like, yes, I get people losing their job is bad. And I'm not bemoaning, I'm not celebrating that. What I am celebrating is the end of a cycle of incompetence. One way or the fucking other. Because we can talk about how tragic that is and what the chances of us fixing it are. But like, if anybody wants to have that discussion with me, I'll be happy to have. Like, does anybody think Bethesda's been doing a good job? How many of you would keep hiring somebody who's doing a bad job? Is more than 8 years? Like, how long do you keep somebody around? Like, if you don't enjoy a service in your own home, are you keeping streaming services you haven't played in 8 years? Like, where's the fucking line? And because I know, again, I'm a little bit heartless in the sense that, like, I'm kind of a independent contractor. So for me, I'm just like, well, I mean, you know how you guys not get fired. You work as a contractor. You work independent. So like, I get it, but I'm also the most heartless here. I'm like, yeah, it must be nice to get a regular paycheck. I don't get nice. That, but yeah, I mean, I'm saying, but like, if you've ever worked as a contractor before, you're like, I know what it's like not to have that stability.
I know that
and
too.
You can do that. you can do that in the professional world. You often make more money, but you have less stability. But so I'm just saying, like, look.
I understand my bias is that I probably give less fucks than I should because of that. And that's my own, again, self-recognized bias. That being said, I really don't feel too bad when it comes to Bethesda, because when you haven't done something right in 8 years, I don't know, maybe you should be keeping that LinkedIn profile polished, homie.
I mean, we already saw some of them already taken to LinkedIn saying they were fired. So it's already happened. Apparently some dude that was on, what happened?
Let me ask you, Tony, like if you worked for a company that did nothing but post 60, you know, 2/3 loss year over year, and you know that the organization that you've put that you're in has not been recognized or put out anything regarded as good in almost a decade, how confident are you in keeping this job for the perpetual time that you're there?
Well, yeah, not confident at all.
I don't know about you, but I'm not going to assume I'm going to be there in perpetuity. I'm going to be like, my days are fucking numbered. We keep producing trash. I need to get my fucking shit together.
Yeah. But yeah, so don't expect this game anytime soon. I by the way, I just find it funny that some of these guys are saying, oh, this is going to delay the game longer. It's already been fucking delayed. The hell are you talking about?
How do you delay it? I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist.
It's just vaporware.
I saw someone post a video, or was it a video or a comment of someone saying, it's like, hey, why do you guys want to rush Elder Scrolls 6? Like, they're already called Bethesda for a reason. So you think it's going to help the bugs? It's like, this game can come out 30 years from now. It's still going to have bugs.
Put the fucking game out. Let the modders fix that shit like always, you know? Fuck out of here, man.
I also have to say, I think my view on developers and how much I fucking trust them has gotten somewhat ruined in the last 5 to 10 years. Just because someone's like, oh man, like, well, this is totally going to fuck over the future of Elder Scrolls. Like, yeah, so sad as you. You might just be butthurt that, you know, your friend got fired. You're just talking out both sides of your ass again. Like, so it's,
yeah.
I don't know how much I even validate this, because you can say, like, oh, as Tony said, like, how can you delay it? Where is it?
What, you can't delay something that doesn't fucking exist, you know? And Philly Fred, shout out to you. Yes, we are aware that they released fucking Starfield, but we ain't talking about that. Where's the fucking game you promised 8 years ago, motherfuckers?
I'm aware they released Starfield. I'm just not counting it as a boon. Should I bring it up? Because you're not going to like what I said.
and Starfield, you know, as someone that played Starfield, it wasn't as ambitious as they to be. So it's not like, you know, wow, this thing should have taken 10 years to make. Nah, man, that's
fucking rants against Starfield had more cultural impact than that fucking game, you know. But we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Bethesda, you fucking up. That's all I gotta say. You fucking up. You know.
I mean, you know, maybe some people don't want to mention. You know, certain people at the top, that might be a real problem. You know,
we mentioned about them.
I feel like it's like they're also, you know, the people saying this may also be the people that know how Todd works. And, you know.
Yeah.
Is the guy that you're suddenly referring to, could he be described as a long hobbit?
I mean, the guy could be described
as an adult version of those kids you would see in a 1950s sitcom. That's what he looks like to me.
He looks like the beaver.
Yes.
it could also be a, you know, we don't know what the situation is, but they could also be saying this. It's like, yeah, they got rid of all these people, the guys who directly deal with this wacko, you know.
Man,
like, you know, it's like I remember somebody was talking about the guy who wrote the last one, your favorite, you know, your favorite guy.
Oh, the great, the auteur, Mr. Neil Druckmann.
Yeah, and they're talking about him, and like a lot of the people that don't have very very kind things to say about him. And the one guy who actually was the director of those games, he sort of like, they sort of pushed him, you know, they sort of stressed him out to the point he left. So who's the real, I wonder. I feel like maybe that could be a situation too. It's like, oh, now, oh man, Bill is the only guy that Todd would actually listen to. Now he's gone. You know?
Yeah.
Oh what God, Todd's off leash.
Oh no, he's losing his mind again.
Yeah. I want to read this.
To add like 10 new features that Peter Molyneux would lie about.
I just, okay, when we talk about, like, I just imagine, like, Todd going down the hallway, climbing up the wall like the fucking ring girl, and turn around and be like, it just works.
Yeah. Just works. Toon Medic, I want to read this comment related to what you guys are saying. Todd needs to look in the mirror and face the reality. Fallout and Elder Scrolls. Fuck. Now, when everybody started chatting, let me show up. Todd needs to look in the mirror and face the reality. Fallout and Elder Scrolls needs to be given to other studios like Obsidian. Well, it's already happening with Fallout, if the rumors are true. We cannot wait 8 to 10 years for these titles. I agree. It's bullshit. You know? It's fucking crazy that you're waiting that fucking long. You know? But yeah, okay, anything else we want to say about Xbox? Because, and I'm going to say this right now, just a word of warning, because I'm pretty sure there's some PlayStation fans that have loved the past hour. Fuck Xbox! Shit on those motherfuckers! Fuck Team Green! Well, we're about to give it to Sony next, so warn the kids, get them out the room, because we're going after Sony next.
Hide your wife.
Hide your wife.
Yeah, so if anybody else, if anybody wants to say anything, last things about Xbox, get it out now because we're going after Sony next.
I do, because you might be surprised by the inverse of this, but I got to say, I absolutely hated all of the news that came out this week. At the same time, if I did the Doctor Strange looking forward to see what universe Microsoft continued to exist as a brand, this is it. This is it. Like, I, as much as I hate it, almost everything that Asha said is something that I agree with. The 14 layers of management is absolutely stupid. The unrealistic expectations, the blind buying without expectation of return, the hardware crisis. Like, and I've never liked that. Honestly, even the letter that she put out, I'm sure it was just for damage control. Like, it didn't sound like a letter to investors. It actually sounded like a letter. She was fucking real, bro. To,
we said that before you showed up. Yeah, go ahead.
It was fucking based. Straight up. Yeah. Like that shit was like, it sounded like a letter apologizing to the... I have not seen that shit since Sony bowed their heads for the fucking network outage. Right? Like,
you know?
That was some fucking humble pie. And I don't hate it. I don't. I hate the news. I hate the crosshairs that everybody got put in. I hate the grim reality of the world we fucking live in. But I don't hate the direction... The nod towards the old school design, the designs of the 25-year anniversary Xbox, like they are showing that they understand what is making the community tick, and they're making hard decisions to kind of get it back there. And it sucks. My heart goes back to everybody that lost a job. That being said, I don't disagree with the direction, and I got to say that.
Yeah, no, it's refreshing to see. Yeah, go ahead, Carlos. Go ahead, bro.
Did anyone from Xbox Game Studios get affected by this?
We don't yet know.
I'm hearing a lot of I'm hearing a lot of different studios, but those weren't Xbox quote unquote Xbox Game Studios. I wonder if they're going to be impacted by the second wave.
Yeah,
I mean, there's quote unquote second wave because they're probably wave 10 by.
The next wave of this, but. Let's move on, man. By the way, Reggie, happy birthday to you, sir. And apologies because you're not going to like the next hour of this show.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, like, Reggie. Reggie has joined us, man. He is now 46.
Hey, 46. Hey.
There you go. And shout out to everybody in the chat right now. You guys are awesome. They're really enjoying the chat going on tonight. And you guys are saying some really insightful stuff there. Again, our fans are fucking awesome, man. They're not, you know, the riffraff that you see on Twitter, you know, which is a good thing.
Manny, I love that New York rendition of Happy Birthday. Just happy birthday. Hey, yo, hey.
Happy
birthday.
Oh. Hey, we can sing it now because that tune has gone public domain. I think it has. But we won't.
Yeah, it has, yeah. Yeah, we get the fucking Applebee's shit. Happy birthday or whatever the fuck they did. Remember that shit?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because the whoever owned the tune, you know, Good Morning to You is what the tune is for Happy Birthday. Just got really like just wanted to make as much money as possible, so they throw strikes at anybody who even used anything close to.
Yeah. Oh well, you'll also be joining the 46 Club in a month. Good for you. We're all heading to 50 together, bro. Andre's already there. What's going on, Otaku man? You know,
yeah.
Elder Statesman. What's it feel like?
What's it feel like, man? What are you feeling? You feeling good?
Andre looks good for his age, though, man. You know, Met him in real life. You know, he's a young, spry man. You know, don't let his age fool you. 54, shout out, brother. Shout out.
Hey, you know? Oh, nice.
That's awesome. All right, man, so let's get into it, PlayStation. So for, I am not exaggerating, for nearly 6 days, PlayStation went radio silent on social media. Nothing, right? Then they finally came out of their woodwork. I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday. Probably Wednesday, because today is Thursday. What the fuck is wrong with me? Bro, actually, excuse me, it was Tuesday. So they came out with a post about the fucking fight stick, right? That post and every single post they made that day was fucking ratioed to death by the community, you know? Because Sony didn't say shit about any of this no diss stuff, right? So when people saw that post and subsequent posts, they went fucking ham. Bro, anybody, and even anything that Sony retweeted caught strays. They retweeted a post from Doom, obliterated, you know? Like, people went, let their voice be heard, and they were fucking pissed, you know? No surprise there.
That initial post that they did, the announcement about the discs and PlayStation, you know, PlayStation 3 and Vita Store post that they did, has gotten, like, I don't know what the number is, but it was
like 9 to 10 community notes, you know?
Yes, because they keep pulling them off, and then they put another community note on top of it.
Oh, did you guys see the one, like, this is my favorite thing, like, because this really feels like, I'm so proud of you gamers for fighting, using pocket sand and hitting them where it hurts, because one of those community notes that I saw was phrased that it was stating that due to the recent announcements and moves by Sony, that it belies a deeply unstable corporate structure and their products might not be available for long, which is just scaring investors, which is just, I gotta say, fucking chef's kiss, like going straight for the investors and be like, oh, this does not look like a safe company to invest in. And the fucking community, it's so fucking brilliant. I love it. It's so below the belt, but yes, fuck yes.
I didn't check the, bro, like literally an hour after, I don't think a fight stick has ever seen this much engagement before. Within the first hour, it was 3 million replies. It's probably up to 100 million or more now. Like, not replies, views, right? Absolutely fucking insane. Every post that was anything related with PlayStation, even as they're recording the show, is getting demolished. And I'm like, yo, they're basically where George R. R. Martin is now. George R. R. Martin cannot post anything without the comments going, where the fuck is Winter Winter? PlayStation is saying the same thing. And here's my thing, right? Because people are saying, we want Sony to make a statement. We want to make a statement. And my thing is, okay, what if they make a statement, but you don't like what they have to say? People are not going to be happy unless they reverse course. And Sony, and we're going to get into this in a bit, Sony's not going to do that. It's not going to fucking do that, unfortunately. You know,
they respond like it's in the way that they respond. They've responded, and the response is
"fuck you."
We fucking dare you. The response is we don't need you. They have calculated the amount. You know, they get a 30% bonus or boost from owning their own storefront or whatever, and you're less than 30%. So
we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stay tuned.
Look out! Quick, get it back up! Hurry!
Are we all clear? Okay, we're all clear. Great. All right, hit the red button.
No, not that button!
And now, Freakazoid.
We talked about this.
No, we're about to.
Manny, they've been responding by starting to throw out. Okay, cool.
Brett, keep going. No, Brett, because I was literally going to the next. Go for it.
Cool. They've been throwing out codes for when you cancel, giving some people up to 50% off.
Yeah.
But the thing is, community can't really figure out what the common through line is because it works like a charm for some people. For those of you who don't know, if you cancel your PS Plus membership, there is a good chance within the next 24 hours you will get a coupon for 3 months at 50% off. Now, problem is, this is not happening for everybody. And the thing that seems to be the connecting tissue is everybody's favorite fucking thing, variable pricing. So how much money you've parted with, what your previous spending habits look like, and how much of a whale you are, all seem to be factors in how much of a chance that there is of you getting this discount code. So even if you go to cancel thinking that, aha, I'm just going to use this to, you know, get myself a 3-month subscription, you might find yourself having on the short end of Sony telling you, yeah, you're one of the ones we can do without, which, I mean, just fuck them 9 ways from Sunday, but also ouch.
Yeah. Real quick, quick apologies to the chat, because I try to open up another window. The stream kind of got a little wonky, but we're back now. So I'll just read the show notes off of my phone, even though it's the same fucking network. Even though I suppose I'm fucking on a landline and whatever. But yeah, basically, and here's the funny thing, Brett, they're just giving out these 50% codes without, like, they haven't made a big announcement. Usually they would make an announcement. They're just quietly doing this shit, to people who are canceling. So pretty
much. But also, like, 3 months, that's the next quarter. They're trying to get you to not show up as a loss in active user engagement for the next quarterly reporting. Like, it's so fucking transparent. Like, hey, if we could just kind of split this loss between two quarters, that'd be great.
Yeah. So right here it says, users on Reddit have reported receiving up to 50% off on 3 months PlayStation Plus extra subscriptions. From what we've gathered, I think this place is in Lifestyle doing this reporting. From what we've gathered, 12-month subscriptions are only up to 25% off, though there are reports at 33% discounts as well. The common theme here is players canceling their subscriptions and being offered a discount to rejoin. Fucking insane. Maybe I should cancel my shit and get that discount too. You know? That's wild, man, but not surprising. Here's the thing. If a company is not listening to you in a traditional sense, then you got to make your voice heard another way. And this is what people are doing to make their voices heard. You know,
I said on Twitter, I'm like, I think, you know, during a reply, it's, you know, somebody saying analysts are just like, oh yeah, Sony's not going to care about
that. That's the next one. Yeah.
I said, to be honest, we should, you know, if people get organized a bit better, they should make it more granular. If the stonks taught us anything, the amount of people doing certain things at a specific time make a lot of difference. What if a lot of people decided to hold their purchase of certain, you know, recent PlayStation titles until after the fiscal year ends next year?
Yeah. Oh, Reggie,
it would look to them like they've lost a bunch of money.
Yeah. Hold on. I got to address this. Yeah. So this is important. Because Reggie, we love you, but you're kind of sometimes carry water for Sony. He goes, all services do this. Try leaving your phone service. You will get all kinds of offers. Sony does not do this regularly. That's the thing here. These discounts are new. No, it's never happened. The fact that they're doing this quietly says a lot. The reports even say this is a rare thing. Yes, other companies do this. Sony does not. That's the key here.
Done that shit.
You know, they've never ever done that shit. You know,
you want to know who got most of those deals?
Yeah, go ahead.
Adam. Why?
Adam. Yeah,
because he spent. Because he spent the most money out of us on the PlayStation than all of us, so he gets the
gotta have something.
Exactly. he was very much playing the system. He had a PlayStation card. He was very much into the system, and they saw that. Maybe not a whale, but they know they were making a lot of money off of them. So that's who was probably getting this stuff. I'm sure if the Reddit went a little bit deeper and asked, like, hey guys, like, when what do you usually spend, blah blah blah, you'll probably hear, oh hey, well yeah, I kind of spend a lot. Reggie, cancel your shit now, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, right. And Manny,
they got you on the list.
Yeah. So, by the way, Manny and Brett, since you brought it up, I want to get to this. By the way, we're some Segway kings tonight, son. Everything's just flowing. Great.
That's a good game we got there. Segway kings.
Yeah. So this from, my boy Hunter over on Twitter, he kind of gathered all the important things from this IGN article. Analysts speak to IGN. So here's what some of the analysts are saying regarding the no disc stuff. Sony will not reverse this decision. Digital is just too lucrative. And we're going to get to some of the numbers in a bit. So here's what one analyst said as a hypothetical, right? This first part is not hypothetical, but the next part will be. There are now 50 million people subscribed to PS Plus. Let's say 500,000 cancel in protest. That would just be 1% of that business gone. Canceling PS Plus, posting on X, community noting, or signing petitions won't make any difference and won't reverse Sony's decision. That's what the analysts say. We'll see, you know, if there's enough bad will out there. I'm not saying they will reverse course. I'm too fucking pessimistic to believe they're going to reverse course. They are fucking not, you know, especially with some of the numbers I'm going to bring up in a bit. But maybe, because here's the thing, right? You haven't had physical games on Steam for fucking ever, right? Steam flat out told you, you don't own these fucking games, right? On. Let me finish.
Hold up.
Okay, go ahead, because I guess I'm wrong about this.
This is a false equivalent. You can download your game files and burn them to a disc from the games that you own on Steam. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them. And those that don't, you can get GOG and do the same thing. The idea that you don't own these games on your PC is patently untrue. It is not a similar thing. You own the files. They don't have DRM. They're not locked down. You own the EXE. And you can put that EXE on whatever device you want to and trade it around. I can bring put that shit on a thumb drive, come over, plug it to your computer, and we can play the EXE just the same way I used to be able to bring over an old school cartridge. The only difference is there's not a physical bit there, but you still own the code that you bought. And I don't mean like the game code. I mean the digital code that makes the game. I was just watching a thing on this today. There's a bunch of stuff on Steam, a majority of things, that just straight up you can just download the EXE. You can launch it outside of Steam. You own that shit.
Yeah. By the way, Brett, I now know how you feel when I cut you off before you make your point.
Sorry.
As I was saying, right, you haven't owned any of your Steam games physically for years, right? Why are people okay with it? Because they give you incentives. Brett just listed one of them. Even though Steam has publicly said you don't own these games, there are still ways to get the fucking game. You also get super fucking discounts, and you also could trade games. You could return them. Sony's not offering any of that shit. That's the problem. They've limited your choices, right? That's what it really comes down to, right? It's not that they're taking your disc away. It's that they're taking away and not giving you any fucking options. Again, Steam, you don't have physical games, but they give you a lot of incentives to keep you there, you know? And Sony's not learning that shit. Go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, no, that was exactly it. There's no protections for you as a consumer as far as those games are. Like even when you pull, they get pulled off the network, they still at least give you the ability to download them, right? You know, you have all this sort of stuff that, you know, that's in place. PlayStation has never been good at this. Brett could tell you, right?
Yeah,
he's had his horror stories about essentially, you know, certain things having to do with some of the games, and they just treated him like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
To be honest, like being able to return a game, being able to, you know, give it to somebody, at least do some of that sort of stuff. But they just make this sort of statement and say, well, tough luck for you. It's all digital.
Yeah,
and then not to mention, they literally made the same announcement when they're pulling off a bunch of films because they couldn't make a deal with one of the film studios. So they're pulling it all; they're delisting every single one of those movies that's in. So you bought your film on there. You can't get it ever again. And what about a bunch of the games that have already been pulled off the network? You know, your PlayStation 3 titles, a lot of the PlayStation 4 titles, all just poof, gone. And if you don't have it downloaded to your system, that's it. It's gone forever. You know what I mean? Like it shouldn't be that way. You at least give people, if digital is the future, right? Then give people something to at least to feel like in other words, I understand that it's when it comes to these companies, the consumer is the least of their worry. They're really looking to
impress. That's fucking dystopian. Yeah. But anyway, go on. Fucking poor shit.
They're looking. I mean, you know, they're looking to make their investors happy. But you know, the thing is that again, like, and that's my point about all of this in general. They shouldn't be beholden to the investors. They should be beholden to the people that actually generate the money for their fucking machinery, not the fucking gambling game that's going to
be, man. That's
not,
the fucking
not yeah. because not because of the gambling game that's going on the investor side. And that's why I brought up stocks earlier.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, if we're like, you see what happens when people start playing the game against the people fucking with money.
Yeah, no, 100% right. And then is the next part. Last week, obviously, when PlayStation made this announcement, or 2 weeks or whatever the fuck it was, they said that one of the reasons is because they saw the way their like customer base was shifting. You know, like, oh, they're going more for digital. That's why we're doing this. Let's go for the real reason they're doing this, bro. It's because they make more fucking money off digital, man. So Jason Schreier put up a great video explaining all this shit, right? Here's the breakdown, right? A first party Sony, Microsoft, whatever, right? Let's just say it's a $70 game, right? Sony makes $45.50 off of that, right? Selling it physical. So that's how much money that they make, right? Digital, if they just sell it digital, you know how much they make off $70? $70, right? So they would gain 54% higher revenue selling it digital on their store. Now, if they're selling a third-party game physical, right, they get $35 off of that, right? If they sell a third-party game physical. They sell it digital, because remember, they still got to give a cut to the company that made the game. They get $49 off of that from a $70 game. So they get 40% higher return off of that going digital. That's the real reason it's happening. It's not this post didn't have it. Jason Schreier broke it down. An entire physical game, CD, disc, whatever paper's in there, is less than $3. They're not going broke off of that shit. Because they make more money off of selling you a digital game, because they just make more money, and it's control too. They control what you have when you have it. And, you know, the other point, I talked to you about this, Brett. You know what happened when Sony announced there were no more discs? The fucking stonks went up because the investors were happy. Oh shit, we're gonna make more money. To your point, Manny, you go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You're gonna move, just fly too, Pat. I been a lot of point. You guys are moving way fast. You're looking at it like it only costs this much to print the disc and the manual. You're not taking into account the pivot of the loss of revenue because they're moving the factory that used to do these discs. They're pivoting them into micro lenses for AI data centers, so they're cashing in. So they're not just not giving you the disc, they're not giving you the disc and making money in AI because of it. So it's both, which is fucking bullshit.
Yep. No, I'm glad you brought that up, but no, I was just breaking down how much money Sony makes off of digital versus physical. But I'm really glad you brought up that the thing, because people are saying, oh, they could always switch back. No, the main factory that makes this for them, they're switching it to this other shit, you know?
Yeah, and then also the other part of this is, and this all came out during the thing, our good old buddy, the Insomniac leak, essentially.
Whoa. No, you can't talk about that, Manny. The industry decided. You can't talk about that.
The industry decided that apparently, according to those numbers, even though they're like 2 years old, with their accounting for the amount of digital sales, they're not actually accounting they're counting everything, even games that are purely digital. So that's an unfair metric. You should be counting. You should be doing one to one. What games that are actually physical and what have a digital version and compare those. But they're comparing everything compared to the disc sales, which doesn't make any sort of sense.
That's a good point.
This is the perfect example of the saying, data doesn't lie, but liars use data.
Yep. Yeah, Chris's favorite thing. Numbers don't lie, but numbers can't be used to lie. Like, think about this, right? If you take two games, for example, you have God of War, Ragnarok, and Sorrows. Oh, shit. More people buying a digital version. Look how much Sorrows sold. It sold 100% digital. Yeah, because there's no fucking physical version of it. This is how they trick you. You know, so the whole stat that I've been using for a while, that 85% of games are sold digital on PlayStation Store, is facetious, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you combine when you combine the fact that a lot of the games that are available on in store, new titles,
are only
the majority of them are digital. So then according to those numbers, essentially slaps the whole disc thing in the face, is that their first party titles actually sell better as physical.
Yeah.
Their external hard drive is right now one per customer due to high demand, but nobody buys physical.
Yeah, nobody buys physical, and that shit's selling the fuck out, bro. And here's the thing, Brett. Yeah, it's been sold out even before this. You know?
Go ahead. This isn't a response to that. They were already limited to one per customer due to high demand. So apparently they can't make enough disk drives to give to people, but nobody also wants physical disks, which makes zero fucking sense.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. By the way, I want to hear from Brian. Get in here, bro. What are your thoughts on all this, man?
I'm just enjoying Brett's rant.
I love it.
I think it's brilliant. And it sums up pretty much my whole thought. It's like when I heard that's how they calculated the stats between the digital and physical, my first thought was, oh, you're cheating on purpose, aren't you? Like you are purposely skewing the results to make a decision to make you more money. And again, like when I heard that they were moving, well, they want to do all digital future, my first thought was, okay, it's not a surprise. And second thought is, it's purely just money, because there's no benefit to the consumer for all digital. So it's like, yeah, it's all just money-based. So when Jason Schreier wrote his little article, I was like, mate, I can skip the article and just tell you, like, the most golden rule of pretty much understanding every company's decision to do anything is it makes them more money, and that's it. Like you can use that to understand pretty much why any company does anything. Like last 10 years, last 5 years, last year, you know, why does Assassin's Creed 4 Resynced exist? To make them more money. Mm-hmm. Why? Because something didn't make them money. Makes sense. Why does Gears of War E-Day exist? To make them money. Because the other games didn't make them any money.
So that's, like
so that's pretty much like the golden rule. So yeah, I am not surprised. I do find it interesting that they were giving discounts for people that cancelled, because again, I find that to be fascinating, and I'm eager to see where this lands up, because again, as Tony says, it seems like PlayStation are very much not willing to budge on this, but then there's been a very severe outrage, and just everyone is very annoyed at Sony for this. So let's see who backs down, because because it's going to be interesting, because if Sony backs down, then they have to find a way to make it work. And if the games back down, then it's going to be very fun next generation.
Yeah.
And the amount of people chiming in on this, like in general, like legitimately, David Hayter said, no disc, no buy.
Bro, Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon came. I'm like, wait, you're SNL. You're not supposed to be talking about this. Like, what the hell is going on?
Kevin Butler. Everybody's saying something about this.
Oh, it's bad. Say, whoever's on Domino's Twitter, like, what did Sony do to you?
I love it.
The daily, it has been fucking like, damn, like, I guess whoever's in charge of that account was like a really heartbroken PlayStation fan, because fuck.
Yeah, no, it's pretty brutal. Dude, think about it. Fucking that night it happened, our boy Gene Park was on CNN talking about this. This isn't just something that's isolated to just, you know, the hardcore gamers. This is spread out, you know? Because Sony's the biggest fucking gaming company right now, and them not having this sets a precedent. If it's successful, everybody's going to say, fuck that, no more physical. And here's the thing, and I'm really glad we're talking about this. Now this is rippling out to other industries, right? Obviously, you know, I'm a big comic book guy. The fucking comic book industry is now worried about this shit. Like, oh, fuck. Are they going to try to go all digital? Fucking movies. They're worried about that shit now, too. Everybody's saying, oh, Sony did this shit? What's going to happen when our industry wants to do this shit? It's rippling out. This is not something that's small. Because there's a lot of people that are trying to downplay this shit. This isn't nothing. We were all headed this way anyway. No, bro. Like, there's always going to be demand for physical games. You can't just fucking cut the shit off, you know? Especially without protection. So this isn't something that's small. And I think it's going to keep growing, you know? And the other thing I wanted to bring up. Okay, actually, you know what? Say what you got to say, because there's something I want to say something else related to this, but it's slightly off topic, even though it's still on topic.
Good. Put the fear into them.
I agree. I kind of get a little bit of hope by seeing the backlash, seeing that, you know, maybe we can stand for something, you know, if this leads to something positive, then that's great. What I don't understand are the people. And obviously, you know why they do all this talk is because they're Sony fanboys. But it's like, I don't understand why people are so angry at that. It's like, come on, man. Like, the fact that even like you feel the need to poo-poo on someone's priorities, and it's like, then we know what your motivation is.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If Sony does sort of put this back, it's like they probably won't, because they'll make everyone know that people have an actual voice and actually can stand for something and change things instead of, you know, just swallowing with pride as we do with everything that happens in this industry. And I will say this, I do buy most of my games physically, and third party games. Usually I buy them for PlayStation, but not recently. I'm buying them all mostly on Steam. So, you know, good luck with that, Sony. I don't know how that's going to work out for you. Hopefully, you know, you release games that people actually want to buy, instead of, you know, after all this games as a service dump, hopefully you prioritize on games. And this whole thing with, and the reason why I'm kind of facetious with Sony is this, like the least they can do is do some, just throw out some, you know, sprinkle in some, physical games just, you know, for the people that care, you know, that it's the least they can do. It doesn't really cost them that much, you know. If 85 or 90% or 95% of the games you sell are digital, then most of the margins are made there, you know. Just release less physical and let the people who are going to buy them buy them. At the end of the day, it's just a disc.
Yeah, no, and again, it's not costing them much. By the way, Toon Medic, that is a great observation, bro. Asha's getting roasted for listening to fans. Sony's getting roasted for not listening to fans. That's a great observation. And I want to bring up this thing Reggie said, because, again, I think this is a false statement to make. He says, and Reggie, you know I'm only saying this with love, brother, you know. He goes, I will say this, though. If you hate a company that much, don't give them your dollars. Simple as that. Let your voice be heard. Nobody on this panel, even Brett, hates PlayStation. The reason people are pissed off is because they love PlayStation and they hate the direction they're going. That's what's happening. This isn't coming out of hate. It's coming out of being scorned by a company that you love.
Actually, not anymore. And that's why I know. Say you guys are,
I know,
like,
not anymore. But remember, there was a time, Brett. There was a time. You said this yourself. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about to prove to you guys what happens when you go from liking somebody to going to not caring. The opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy. Like, I'm fucking done. I think Carlos said it best, like, good luck with that, have fun, because I honestly couldn't put it more succinctly. I'm heading over to see him, like, all right, you guys have fun with that, because not me.
Yeah, couple of things here, because I know people are going to use this as ammo against this, right? So pre-orders, I believe, for the new Call of Duty games, the fucking Black Ops and Black Ops 2. I think these are remakes. I could be wrong about this. One of them is a new one. One's a remake. Am I wrong about this, by the way? What are these new Call of Duty games that are coming? Can somebody look this up? Anyway, that's not the point. There are two new Call of Duty games coming out. And apparently, people have swarmed the PlayStation Network so hard to buy them, to pre-order them, that they crashed it, and now subscriptions are going up. Now people are saying, oh, look, you guys aren't standing on business. You're talking all this shit about no disc, and you're out there pre-ordering digital games. Call of Duty's fan base is not the people that buy games physically. They are in a whole other stratosphere. So we can't, that's a false equivalence right there. The guys that are complaining, the guys that are hardcore PlayStation guys that have a whole big fucking collection of various games are not the same people as crazy Call of Duty people. So please miss me with that bullshit. That is a false equivalence, but people are already using it. You guys aren't standing on business. You're pre-ordering so much that you're fucking crashing the site. Fuck, they're Call of Duty fans, bro. You think a guy like Pio is fucking caring about Call of Duty? No, he is a PlayStation guy. Very different people, bro. So miss me with that bullshit. Anyway.
By the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Reggie posted something that I was like,
oh Reggie, come on, son. What are we doing right now, bro?
He said, Tony, I'm not saying that. I'm saying in general, if you don't like a brand, don't give them your dollars. If you don't like spaghetti, would you eat it? No, right? No one hates Sony.
No one.
Here's the thing.
Brett does.
I'm going to respond to that.
Yeah, go ahead,
Brett. I hear you. And my response is, as somebody who has spent the last 25 years enjoying spaghetti, who has had spaghetti since the very day spaghetti was invented, I am now walking away from spaghetti because spaghetti is no longer worth it. And if that is not a thing worth pointing out, then I dare say you did not like spaghetti that much to begin with.
That's fucking great. Great comeback, you know?
I was about to say that. It's like you've eaten spaghetti your entire life. And it's like, oh, we decide to use ketchup instead of regular tomato sauce, the Italian tomato sauce. Like, what the fuck, ketchup? It's like, well, it's pretty much the same thing, right? You know, most people love ketchup. You're like, no, put the tomato sauce, the regular tomato sauce. Like, that's what people are complaining about. They like the old formula. There's a lot of people that love the old formula.
Like Coke, motherfucker, not new Coke. What the fuck is this bullshit? You know, it's exactly. The same deal. Reggie, come on, son. You can't agree. He's very enthusiastically agreeing. Reggie, he just shut you down, bro. He just shut down your argument.
You might need to run that through again, Reggie, because he did not. unless you genuinely agree with it, because it's not. That's yeah. No,
yeah, that you would. Yeah, Brett just shut down your argument. Yeah, exactly. If you like. Yeah, again, I don't need to add to it. Brett said it perfectly. The last thing I wanted to say, I just want to get your thoughts on this. And it's about standing on business, you know. Sony announced that they are going to be at San Diego Comic-Con with 3 panels. Do you think people are going to be about that life and took them to task in real life?
In person?
It's a bold move, Cotton.
I mean, yeah, so people have already been posting the homeboy, you know, is this an off April Fool's off,
yeah, are we gonna have that moment show? You know, because it's very easy to call out a company on Twitter, very difficult to do it in somebody's face. So I want to see this, and here's the thing, obviously we want people to do this shit respectfully, right? We don't want anybody being harassed. Don't throw fucking tomatoes, none of that shit. But if you're about that life and you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, make your fucking voice be heard. They're right there.
But, you know, they could easily, you know, narrative toward them. Well, we will not be accepting any questions about physical discs or something or other.
They could
definitely short of do that. We're only talking about, you know, Marvel Tokon or was it God of War of Fae or what was the last one?
Wolverine.
So yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Manny, again, I don't know what's happening tonight, man. Something in the water on Throwdown. Segway Kings. Another Sony L, since we're talking about it. You know how you have to sign into PlayStation Network to play certain games. Mm-hmm. Well, because of that bullshit, Marvel Tokon, their big fighting game, will be inaccessible to people in 132 countries.
Yes.
Isn't one of those countries where they're holding the fighting expo for this game?
Yes. Yes.
So they're hosting the game in a country that can't play it?
Yeah, so they're having, yes. I'm pretty sure it's probably, because there's like 5,000 EVOs now. Yeah, Brian, it is being, one of the countries that's participating in EVO can't play this game.
Okay.
I heard the news about the,
yeah. See, I heard the news about the token and account thing, but I didn't know it went that deep. I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah, seems like so we might take the crown for the most L's this year. Beating Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, what's up? You know, because here's the thing, then, Brian.
Ironically, Ubisoft takes another L by that.
Ubisoft didn't even do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an assurance, but we could end with that in a bit. Yes, they can circumvent it by using a physical disc, obviously. We still have those, but it's still a bad look that this game is being cut off in so many countries, you know?
Well, I mean, it's their fault for essentially trying to bolster the fact that to players on their fucking network.
They want the active user base, but if I'm understanding correctly, and I'll have to look this up if you want me to get the details on it. But one of the places like physically hosting the game tournament for this specific game is in one of the countries that cannot sign in to the PlayStation Network. And since you have to sign into the PlayStation Network to play this game competitively, the competitive game is being hosted in a competitive tournament in a country where you cannot play this game competitively. I mean,
you can't even practice. You can't even practice it.
Well, I mean, you can practice by yourself, but like,
you can go to your boys' place and, you know, like we used to do it back in the day, Tony.
They would have to.
Your buddy.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be a
big adjustment. Do you that anymore?
No, because everybody's an adult and has jobs, you know?
No. I mean, just the game, there's the new, I don't even know if the new Street Fighter supports couch co-op.
Oh, it does. Yeah, all fighting games
okay,
do.
So, thank God.
Yeah. Well, that's how they're able to do the tournaments. Like, you can't, they can't just have one guy in another room on a different, you know, like connected through a server. No, two guys got to sit next to each other to play the fighting game.
Yeah.
Everybody else has. I wouldn't put it past them at this point. So that's good to know. But still,
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say this, I've never heard something that more fills up the definition of anal gazing.
Navel gazing.
No, I know, but I recently heard anal gazing, and now it's everybody's problem.
Fair enough. Okay, so Reggie's saying that the block has been lifted on 15 countries. Okay, so 113 countries can't participate then.
That's still a lot, man.
You know, Reggie, we love you, man, but you don't have to hold that much water for Sony, bro.
You should start asking for checks, son.
Oh, man. By the way, this isn't part of the news thing, but, you know, may as well bring it up, right? Yes, Assassin's Creed, Resync, Black Flag, whatever, came out this week. And literally the same day it came out, a bunch of employees got laid off at Ubisoft. This industry is fucking cooked, man.
Ubisoft cannot contain itself.
I kind of feel like if you work in the industry, you almost have to be heading this revolution from the other side. Don't work for game companies that are publicly traded. Work with smaller indie. Like, honestly, the death of the game industry is here. But the weird thing is it's like a death rebirth thing, right? Like, it's the old industry has to die and the new industry is trying to be born. The idea of $500,000 or multi-billion-dollar budgets from gigantic overbloated studios that want to be quadruple A and are publicly traded by venture capitalists is honestly fucking mostly dead. We don't even need to do anything. We're already at the point where none of us are going to buy all the consoles next generation. None of us are pre-ordering games anymore, and anything from a big AAA studio that is full of suits doesn't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. That's been the problem. That's why everything is collapsing in on itself, because none of us have the faith in companies that we used to. But if we hear about a really good game that all of our friends are playing on Steam for like $15, like, yeah, we'll jump in. Like, the problem isn't gaming. The problem is the upper echelon, higher price tag, $100 price tag that the entire investment, everything wants people to jump into. The fact that game or companies, their valuation goes up when they fuck us and it goes down when they show us any kind of leniency really shows all you need to know. But that's not the entire industry.
So I do think that a lot of these companies are going to die. And honestly, fucking good. I don't know about you, but like, I don't mean this like in a big declaration kind of way. I'm pretty sure we all knew I was going this way, and I've made no secret of it. Like this, I have prophesied the return of old arrogant Sony, and so it has been foretold, and so it has come. And now I depart for the lands of Steam, where I do not have to pay to cross every goddamn bridge to every goddamn friend I want to play a fucking game with every fucking month. So I'm going to go enjoy free multiplayer and just build a PC for the cost of what they're going to charge for the next PlayStation. And
or Steam Machine.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to build a PC. I mean, I'm going to already pay $1,000.
I'm saying you could pretty much buy put together a computer, a more powerful computer than a Steam Machine for less than a Steam Machine and a PlayStation, what they're speculating for the new PlayStation.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I put together a mini, I got a little mini PC here that I have an open M2 slot, and I can hook up an external card drive to this thing. It's got like 96 gigs of RAM to it. Like, I can upgrade into the PC space even by distributed computation. Like, I have a 4070 gaming laptop, and I just run it through the node of one of my mini PCs into a gaming arm. Like, I PC game a lot more now. I've actually, come to think of it, I've moved completely off both consoles on PC for the last 6 months. So I've already done that. So it's not like I'm leaving. Because honestly, the whole situation has been like, fuck you. And they're like, fuck you. And I'm like, fuck me. And they're like, fuck you. I'm like, all right, well, I'll fucking leave. And they're like, do it then. And so here I go. So it's not a big to do, but I think a lot of people are moving this way. But
man.
It's surprising how much the whole not a whimper, but not a bang, but a whimper thing applies.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the way I'm seeing it, because I was asking myself this, like, today, I was like, how come I'm not more outraged about this? It's because, like you said, Brett, the apathy setting in. If the industry keeps going the way it is, I don't think I see myself even being like a serious gamer in like 5 years. I'm already kind of not a serious gamer now. I'm more into other hobbies because gaming is not what it used to be. So it's like, okay, if the PS6 comes out and it costs $1,200, $80 games, the fuck do I care? I could just not engage. You know, it's as simple as that, right? So, they don't make the spaghetti the way I want anymore.
I mean, there's a half step too. Like, you already got a dope ass PC. You could just have shit on wish list and pick something up within 80% off. Like, you got a back library big enough and a wish list deep enough. You can just fucking wait out all the failures and let the top man. Like, we're all in that position. Why the fuck do I need to be pre-ordering shit for?
Yeah, I mean, I think since the inception of the show, we've been telling people don't pre-order anything, you know, because it's just stupid. But yeah,
orders of magnitude more true.
Yo, I'm just going to say this. If you are optimistic about the gaming industry, please give me whatever the fuck you're smoking. I don't even do drugs. I want what you have, bro. Because that's some delusion right there, you know? This shit is all fucked up. And on that cheery note, we're still wrapping up. Manny, what do you have to plug, man?
Yes. So, I have a dinner date coming in October, just in time for the Halloween season. It's a horror comedy vampire comic by Joanne Starr, Carrie Randolph, and myself on Colors. It's a fun, little romp in the darker seaside of New York City. So by two New Yorkers and a guy from Boston. I'm kidding. Anyway, so that's gonna be out this October. Ninja Turtles: Tales from the TMNT. That's going to be out in September. Stay tuned for Comic-Con, because there might be some things that I might have worked on that might be appearing in there. Keep an eye out. And that's about it. Probably going to keep talking about dinner date until it actually comes out. But yes, what's going on?
All right. And speaking about comics, I'm not going to hold it up now because since I'm backward now, it'll read as NemX instead of X-Men. But I want to give a shout out to one subset. I don't know if it was because of me, but he bought that John Byrne X-Men book. You know, he showed it off. It's great. Don't listen to I was going to say her name. I'm not going to say her name. Don't listen to that stupid woman who's telling you not to buy this book. It's great, and it's sold out everywhere. So proved her point. You know, what a dumbass. If you tell people not to buy things, they're going to go buy it. You dumb whore. You know,
to be honest, it's like, why are you telling people not buying? It's like, especially if you are a professional in the same industry, you shouldn't be doing that.
And like, when your fucking company is selling this man's work, you know, fuck out of here with that bullshit. I'm sorry, Manny, go ahead.
I mean, that's just not just good business at all. Like, especially if you're working in it, you don't do that sort of thing. But anyway, is what it is.
Go buy X-Men elsewhere. It's fucking awesome. all right, we're done here. So make sure you follow Through Down on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord gang. As always, shout out to the Discord gang. Guys, we're very, very lively this week, to say the least. And last week, too, you know. And of course, you can find us on every podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Play has limits.
Oh, man. And of course, Brian Manjoma.
It's not for the players, it's F the players.
Indeed. Love you. All right, guys, we shall return. Get those questions in, man. Later.
Laters.
Deuces.